Well, for 6 weeks, we are focusing on being visibly connected to the heart of Christ. And that is part of our vision statement. We're doing this in a series called The Heart of Christ. And that comes, as I said, from our vision statement, the very beginning of our vision statement. Through the summer, we're going to be picking parts of our vision statement and really focusing in and kind of drawing them up and bringing them to our attention so we can piece together our vision statement and really get it and dig into it a little deeper. And so this series, The Heart of Christ, comes from the very beginning of our vision statement, which is being a church visibly connected to the heart of Christ by actively bringing hope to the community through serving, transforming, and reproducing others to the same heart and actions. So that's our vision as a church. And as I've shared with you guys, we've got... I need to do something here. There we go. We've got two expectations every Sunday that we're going to be talking about and really wanting to get to. So very simple. Every Sunday I brought them up. We've only got a couple more Sundays. I'll be bringing them up for two more Sundays. And very simple. We want to connect to the heart of Christ. That's the first expectation out of every message of this six-week series, to connect to the heart of Christ. For some of you, it is going to be a brand new connection. Some of you who have been a Christian for years, maybe you haven't connected to this part of the heart of Christ. So it might be a new connection. For some of you who are just starting out your walk, your brand new Christian, this will be a great series for any brand new Christian. It's up on the website, so any new Christian that comes in, or if you have someone that has just become a new Christian, this might not be a bad series to send them to connect into the heart of Christ. So it might be a brand new connection. For some of you, it might be to reconnect. Something has happened. You've wandered away. You've gone astray. Something has interrupted that, or some sort of bitterness has crept in, or some sort of callus or scarring has happened, and you're not connected to this part of the heart of Christ. And maybe today is a time to reconnect to that part of the heart of Christ. For some of you, you are connected to this part of the heart of Christ, and that's a tongue twister. And in that, you will be deepening your connection through this series or through this particular message on this part. And so for all of us, any of us, all of us fall in one of those three categories. And so for all of us here, we want to connect to the heart of Christ, and then we want to live like people who are connected. We want to live like people who have been changed, who have been affected, who have been inspired, who are following in the footsteps of Jesus' heart. We are living that way. It changes our attitude, it changes our perspective, it changes our worldview, it changes how we see people, how we see the others around us. It changes the choices we make, it affects our actions, it affects all of our life. And so we want to live as people who are connected to the heart of Christ. And that's what it means to be visibly connected to the heart of Christ. So we started on Easter Sunday. We talked about a life-giving, victorious heart. The Sunday after that, we talked about an accepting, forgiving heart. Last week, we talked about being how Jesus had a driven, a very, very intentional heart. Today, with it being Mother's Day, we're going to a little more of the feminine side, and we're talking about the caring, compassionate heart of Christ. Next week and the week after, we've got the patient, enduring heart next week, and then the kind, gentle heart for our final week. So for today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to talk about a couple of stories before we take notes. So if you want to just kind of set your notes aside, I'll tell you when we'll be picking those back up. And I want to share two stories with you from Scripture. And then what I've got in the slides, I've got certain words kind of highlighted for us. So to bring our attention to it. The first story comes out of Luke chapter 7, and it's about the widow in Nain. It says, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Luke is very specific in the way he describes this woman. This is important to understanding the despair involved in this woman's life. This was her only son, and she was a widow. That means there were no men in her house. There was no man in her house to support her. Now, in our day and time, it is a sad thing to be a widow. It is a sad thing to lose your son and lose your husband. Not negating that at all. But in our society, a widow who has lost her son can't continue on. She can get a job, or she's pulling from, you know, her job that she did have when she worked. She's got retirement, or she's got life insurance from the husband, or, you know, whatever it may be. In that situation, it is a sad emotional situation, but it's not a position of economic despair. In their culture, in their situation, in their society, a woman without a man in the house had very little chance of making it. There was no income. There was no life insurance back then. There were no policies that they would cash in. There was no investments that they'd be pulling in. They wouldn't have worked before and built up a retirement, and they'd be able to pull from that. There was nothing. And so if you can try to understand the despair in this story, how rough it was for this woman who not only on an emotional level lost her husband at one time and now has lost her son, but on an economic and a social level, she has lost everything there. So she's lost everything. A woman, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, highlighted that word. Who noticed who? Jesus noticed her. When the Lord saw her, he had his eyes were open. He was looking around him. He was paying attention to those hurting. The Lord saw her. His heart went out to her. Another word for that? Compassion. He had compassion for her. His heart went out to her. He saw her. He had compassion on her. And he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up. And I highlighted that because that's an action. It's an action step. He had compassion, and the compassion was connected to an action. Multiple actions. He went up. He touched the coffin. Catch myself up here. He went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." So he went up, he touched the coffin, he talked, he raised the man from the dead. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. An action. His compassion was connected to an action. He saw this woman. He understood her despair. Of course, Jesus knew more, he had more insight into the situation, but we can gain insight into situations simply by asking questions, simply by being aware and observant of those around us. And this woman, who was a widow, had lost her only son, and he saw that, and he had compassion on her. His heart went out, and his compassion was connected to an action. He went up, touched the coffin, spoke to the dead body, the dead boy, and raised him from the dead, and he gave him back to his mother. The story continues. It says, they were all filled with awe and praised God. So we see the response of this was worship. They praised God. They were in awe of God. They praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus, what? Is that on there? Does the yellow make it hard to read? The news about Jesus did what? It spread. Okay, another note to take up and just kind of mentally file away. We're going to take some notes on these in a minute, but it spread. The news about this event spread. His compassion and his actions connected, and people talked about that. It made an impact. Story number two. Actually, let me, I'll just hit a quick review of some of the things that we highlighted. He saw her. His heart went out to her. He raised her son. His compassion was connected with an action. People praised God, and word about Jesus spread. So story number two comes from Mark chapter 1. And it is about a leper who approaches Jesus. So we're going to have a little bit of a different story here. A man with leprosy came to him where Jesus saw the woman in Nain. He saw her. Jesus initiated that instance. In this instance, this man approaches Jesus. So Jesus is the approach E. And so he approaches Jesus. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, can you make me clean?" Filled with what? Compassion, there we go. Filled with compassion. Here we are, compassion. Two words later is a verb. He reached. He reached. Filled with compassion. Let me make sure I get the word. Jesus reached out. His compassion was connected to an action. He saw him. He was filled with compassion. And he reached out. Compassion connected to an action. He reached out his hand and touched the man, a man with leprosy. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Compassion connected to an action. And something to notice in this story is that Jesus was, he was mentally and emotionally positioned to be able to help this man. When this man came up to him, I mean, he was a man with leprosy. This was a disease where pieces of your body would fall off, your nose, your ears. It was just, your body was rotting while you were alive. It was a nasty, nasty disease. And this man comes up to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't have to sit there and have this inner dialogue of, oh, I don't want to get too close to this guy, or let me compose myself because I need to be, you know, politically correct. I need to show manners. He's there already. And I think that's something very important to pick up from this story. He says, "Are you willing?" And boom, "I'm willing." There wasn't a pause. There wasn't time. Jesus had already made the mental and emotional preparations for events like this. I think we should pick up on that and see that Jesus had positioned himself in a place emotionally and mentally so that he was prepared to help people who came to him. Not only did he see people in need, but when people came to him, he was positioned emotionally and mentally to be able to jump right in and say, "Yeah, I'm willing. Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell anyone, don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, so he didn't obey Jesus, he went out and began to talk freely, doing what? Spreading the news. So, quite different. I mean, you know, in Nain, Jesus didn't give her, you know, this don't tell anyone, but news spread because his compassion was connected to an action. But in this situation, he tells them, you know, don't say anything. But it was inevitable that news would spread when compassion is connected to an action. I want you guys to do that. Go ahead and pull out your right hand. We'll do this. Let you guys mirror me. So pull out your right hand. Okay, compassion is connected to action. And bring those fingers together. Interlace them in there together. Compassion is connected to action. And news spread. Word gets out. People take notice. People see a church in motion. That's our mission statement, is to reveal God through a church in motion. Our vision statement, to be visibly connected to the heart of Christ by bringing hope to our community. It's exactly what Jesus did. Our vision statement is based solely out of the gospel stories. So he was filled with compassion. He responded immediately because he was emotionally and mentally prepared, and news spread. So let's go on and take some notes. I think I'm skipping a verse, but that's our second half of a verse. Jesus' compassionate, caring heart. These are all things that we've already talked about so far, but we're just going to write them down now. We're going to go from an emotional take on the story into a mental take on the story. Jesus actively observed and responded to those around him. Okay, and that's taken from both stories. With the Nain, the widow in Nain, he was actively observing. He actively observed. And he responded. So that's in connection with the story about the leper, that Jesus responded. You know, this compassion connected to actions. I just gave you guys two stories out of Scripture. You can see this as you read through any of the four Gospels. You can see how Jesus, well, I take that back. The first three Gospels, the word compassion doesn't show up in John's Gospel at all. So it's kind of interesting. John's all about Jesus' love, and so that was more of a general term. So you don't see the specific term of compassion show up there. But you can see it in John, it's just not spoken of in John the way it's spoken of in the other Gospels. But you can see it through Jesus' life that his compassion was connected to actions. And it was because he was aware of what was around him. He actively observed. He actively looked at what was going on around him. And he was ready to respond. He actively observed and responded to those around him. So his eyes noticed. His eyes notice people in need because of the love in his heart. We're talking about being connected to the heart of Christ, connecting to that heart. He saw people in need because it was a response of what was inside of him. It was how his heart beat. It was how he operated. It was what drove him, was loving people. And that love opened his eyes to be able to see people who were hurting around him, to be observant. When people approached him, he was mentally and emotionally positioned to help them. Now, some of us might read some of these stories and we think, well, that was Jesus. I expect it of Jesus. The world expects it of Christians. We should expect it of each other. We're held to a higher level because we are children of God. We should be living this way. And when one Christian calls out another Christian, it should be over things like this. Hey, we need to be out. We need to be looking at people, observing. We need to be responding. We need to have our compassion connected to actions, caring actions. So when people approached him, he was mentally and emotionally positioned to help them. He had already planned that ahead of time. He was ready for it. Jesus' compassion was always accompanied by a caring action. Once again, we've already talked about that. We can write that down. His compassion was always connected to an action. See him in Scripture. See, as he loved people, as his heart went out to people, as he saw people in need, it was always attached to an action, always connected to an action. And the touch of Jesus' compassion and care, it improved the lives of others. His touch and his care, it improved the lives of others. His touch and his care, it brought praise to God. And his touch, his compassion and care from his touch, it spread. The news of that spread. So when his compassion came together with his actions, lives were improved. When his compassion came together with his actions and he touched people, then people praised God. When his compassion came together with his actions, then word spread about who he was. Another story that kind of compounds some of this message about compassion. And we talked about it last week about how Jesus in one of his intentional things that he was here for was to establish his church. And last week we talked about how establishing his church, the chapters before that in Matthew's gospel, as we looked at that last week, remember that? We looked at how Jesus had been working with his disciples, training them, and then establishing and then letting them know, this is what I've been doing. I've been establishing my church. And on this rock, you know, this is where my church is going to be established, and Hades will not overcome it. And so in the midst of that, we had this story of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus is training his disciples, stretching them, teaching them to think like he thought, to see how he saw, to act and respond how he acted and responded. And so we picked this story up where there was a lot of people, they were coming to Jesus, and it was very busy, and Jesus saw that he was getting worn out, his disciples were getting worn out, and it was a time to take a break, a time to get away. To get a little bit of rest. So Jesus loads them up in a boat, him and his disciples, and they get away for a little bit of R&R, and they travel across the lake, and when they get to the other side, expecting to kind of be in a barren place, they went to a place purposefully that was away from, you know, nothing was around it. They were out in the boonies, you know, and so when they arrive there, they find out the crowds had followed them all the way there on land. It says, when Jesus landed and saw, okay, kind of hard to miss this one, but he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them. There it is again. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. So in this situation, you see the compassion and he starts teaching them. Once again, it's a compassion connected to an action. He saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he started what? He started teaching them. Compassion was connected to an action. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. So we see a little glimpse here. This is kind of a nice little moving forward for the disciples. The disciples, they're actively observing. They are caring. You can see that they have compassion for the people that are there. They say, hey, you know what? These people, they're not coming to Jesus and saying, hey, Jesus, we got here to get a loan. Kick these people out. It's out of compassion that they're wanting to send these people away. They come up and they say, hey, these people are going to get hungry and there's no place around here to eat. Why don't you send them away? They'll listen to you. Send them away. Let them get something to eat. And so we see that they're growing. They're starting to pick up Jesus' heart and they're connecting to the heart of Christ. They see these people. They have compassion on them. But Jesus wants a different action. He wants an action that is more providing for the people, that is more active in ministering, that is more active in giving hope. Rather than sending them off, Jesus tells them, says, but he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take 8 months' wages, 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. These fish were probably small fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. So we see this story starting to train the disciples, teaching them. Here we have, you know, compassion. They're seeing it. Let me help steer that. Let's deepen this. You do something about it. You give them something. And he starts teaching them to think in that way. And so as we start to connect, you know, our first goal of this series every Sunday is to connect to the heart of Christ. So connect to Jesus' compassionate, caring heart by seeing people through Jesus' eyes. That's how we connect to the heart of Christ. We see people through Jesus' eyes. The disciples, they saw these people, and instead of thinking about themselves, they were thinking about the people. These people are hungry. They need to be sent away so they can get something to eat. They were seeing the world through Jesus' eyes. Connected to that, I want us to be reminded of some things this morning, some things that you guys already know. And that is that all people were made in God's image. All people were made in God's image. When Jesus saw the widow in Nain, I believe that looking through his eyes, he didn't just see a woman who was hurting. He saw a woman who was made in God's image who was hurting. When he saw the leper, a man who was falling to pieces, literally, he saw a man who was made in God's image who was falling to pieces. We need to get that vision on people. We need to be reminded that all people are made in God's image, no matter who they are, if they're a joy to be around or if they're obnoxious, if they're pleasant or if they're unpleasant to be around, if they smell good or if they smell bad, if they've got some habit that you look up to and a pattern in their life that you want to aspire to be like, or if they've got habits or patterns that just disgust you. They're all made. Everyone is made in God's image. And I think if we start to see the world through Jesus' eyes, that's going to be a key to helping us see that, to be reminded that everyone across the board, every one of us are made in God's image. But we are judgmental people. And I'm not picking on anybody. It's just we by nature, I am that way. You know, I see myself, I'm getting older. I was reminded of that this past Friday. And so... I've got certain things that I'm kind of set in my ways. And it's, we're just by nature somewhere. And I know it's somewhere it's got a righteous connection because, you know, God is the judge. So I think there is some righteous connection where we have been made to be able to judge between right and wrong. We have a moral code that is stamped on us because we're made in God's image. But I think the evil side of that, the twisted side of that, the sinful side of that, is that it causes us to look at people in different ways. And it's so easy for us to look at different people. No matter where you sit or where you stand, you've got a certain angle, you've got a certain place, a certain quadrant that's more comfortable to you, and you're more judgmental towards people that are further away from that quadrant. So if you're in this quadrant, then it's these people. If you're in this quadrant, then it's these people. If you're in this quadrant, then it's these people. And it's so easy to fall into that, and we need to be reminded that all people, every quadrant, are people that are created in God's image. All people. All people were made to love and to be loved. And it goes hand in hand with being made in God's image. God is what? Love. We're made in His image. We're made to love. We're made to be loved. And so if we are living through life and we're not loving others, we're not doing what we've been made to do. When we see people around us who are in need, who need compassion, who need care, they are people who were made to be loved, to be able to be to receive love. We are made, all people are made to love and to be loved, and all people have value and are important to God. Jesus was sent to die for everyone. It wasn't just a select group of people. It wasn't just the Jews. It wasn't just the Americans. It wasn't just a certain race. It wasn't just a certain type of person. It wasn't a certain morality. Jesus died for all people. He died for all men. One death, once for all. All people are important to God. All people are valuable to God. And when we start thinking about that, that's going to shape our vision as we connect to the heart of Christ. And His heart beats inside of us, and we get a chance to see through His eyes, and we connect to that heart. The second part, the second expectation we have in each of these Sundays is not only to connect to the heart, but to live like someone who's connected to the heart. So living as a person connected to Jesus' compassionate, caring heart. I need to keep my eyes open for those in need. You see this in multiple stories represented today in the story of the widow and Nain. Jesus saw her. He initiated that contact. We see multiple stories through the Gospels of Jesus initiating contact with people. He saw them and He initiated the contact. We need to have our eyes open. If we want to act like people who are connected to the heart of Christ, we need to keep our eyes open to see what's around, to be actively observant the way He was. The inverse, the other story that was represented by the leper, that story represents a lot of other stories in Scripture where people came up to Jesus. People were constantly coming up to Jesus. If people are not coming up to you looking for hope, that might be a good sign that you need to do some changes. People should be looking to Christians for hope. They should be coming to Christians for hope. We should be beacons in the lives of other people around us. And so when people came up to Jesus, when people come up to us, we need to be mentally and emotionally prepared ahead of time to help others. Just like Jesus was. To follow in His footsteps, to connect with His heart, to live like that, we have to be mentally... You can't think about it at the moment. When you've got a needy person that comes up to you, and we've got someone that's hurting, or someone that's obnoxious, and you don't really want to spend time with them, or love them, or care for them, you have to mentally and emotionally be prepared for that situation before it happens. Otherwise, your knee-jerk reaction might not be one that represents a person who's connected to the heart of Christ. But when you've already played that out, when you've already mentally and emotionally committed to loving, to caring, to serving, to bringing hope, then when someone that comes up in that position, you don't have to deal with that inner dialogue that happens all too often in our minds. You just jump right to the action. Compassion connected to the action. Caring actions must be accompanied by compassion. Or must accompany compassion. I reverse that. So caring actions... that must accompany our compassion. You can't just have compassion. You have to accompany that with actions. Caring actions. Now, I know a lot of you like to pack up, so you can go on and pack up. But I'm going to tell you one more story as you do. In Luke chapter 10, a man came up to Jesus and he said, hey, what's the greatest what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, well, what do you read? How do you read the law? He said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you've answered correctly. And so this man, trying to get out of loving his neighbor, he says, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus tells this story, and a lot of us are familiar with this story, but on a day like today, we need to be reminded of this story. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Now notice, both of these guys, they saw him, but either they didn't have compassion or they didn't link their compassion with actions. We're not told if they had compassion or not, but we do know what their action was, and their action didn't show compassion. They walked by on the other side. They kept on going. And these were religious leaders, a priest, a Levite. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, and a Samaritan, we can't get how grossly offensive this story is to the people Jesus was speaking to. A Samaritan was someone outside, way outside. Someone that you would not expect to do this. Someone that would be offensive to the church if church people bypassed this situation, but a Samaritan did not. So the emotional impact of this story as Jesus shared it, it was an offensive story. People would have walked away from the story offended because the good guys passed it by, but this guy who was completely outside of the circle, he's the one that stepped in, a Samaritan. As he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. So we're told specifically this man had compassion. He took pity on him. His compassion was connected to his actions. He took pity on him and he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Look at all those verbs, just action, action, action. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn and took care of him. I mean, just verb, verb, verb. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, verb, verb. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. His compassion was connected to his actions. And Jesus shares this story. And then he asks the man, he says, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, and I believe 2,000 years later, Jesus is telling us, go and do the same.